This is the spiritual state of the church today, and we need to be reminded of it, Lord. And so, God, we do thank you for it and ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us. And again, pray that if one's listening without Christ in their life, that this message might open their ears and their hearts to come to know him as Savior. We ask you now to walk amongst us, open our eyes and our hearts and our minds, and let us leave here with a blessing from this wonderful verse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting to note that although Romans 8:7 teaches the lost are hostile to God, the world still loves to use biblical terms. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible's got a bunch of terms in it that are everyday common expressions? For example, they use the term a drop in the bucket. That comes from Isaiah 40:15. Or another one is the apple of my eye. You find that in Psalm 17:8. And the skin of my teeth, Job 19:20. And finally, we have a man after my own heart, a very all common expression. That's found in Acts 13:22. And they also come up with a few of their own expressions that, well, in this case, I think are pretty good. And one of my favorites is the nothing burger. I never heard of it until it was first mentioned back, oh, maybe 4 or 8 years ago. Nothing burger. What it means is a nothing burger is something important has happened. It could be a statement. It could be an event. It could be anything else that seems to be important. But in reality, the important thing is really of no significance at all. They blow it up into a nothing burger. That's it. It has no value. It's like eating a hamburger with just the buns. There's no meat in it. There's no tomato or lettuce or ketchup or mayo, whatever it is. Nothing in it. Just buns. That's a nothing burger. It's a term, I would also tell you this morning, that perfectly fits the evangelical church today. The worship and doctrine coming out of most evangelical churches today has no spiritual value at all, and that makes it a nothing burger. All they're doing in these churches right now, all they're doing is they're putting on a show. And you know what? It's not a new show. This show was being played when Jesus had his ministry. In our text, he told the Pharisees the way they worshiped God was a nothing burger. Basically, that's what he's telling them. There was nothing of any value in their worship to God that honored him. And he begins our text by calling the Pharisees hypocrites. Then in verse 7, he tells them why they're hypocrites. What I love about Christ was he didn't just say something. He backed it up. He told them why. Our text says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And they were hypocrites because that when they worship God, all they gave him was lip service. That's all he gave them. They quoted the law, but they couldn't live it. Matthew 15:5-6, Jesus said, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. I can't give you my money. I'm giving it to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother, the fifth commandment. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. They found ways of taking God's commandments and turning them around for their benefit, period. That's a nothing burger. There's nothing in that. They think there is. They may have the money, but they have the penalty for doing it as well. They claimed holiness, but they were filled with sin and unrighteousness. Matthew 23:28. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Sin, that's what he was telling them. He was telling the religious leaders of that country that it's a show. They also claim to teach the truth to the people about God, but instead they taught false doctrine. Matthew 23:13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They were lying to them. Now, let me ask you a question. Just think for a minute. Of all the church things that you know, the things that are going on in the evangelical church today, does anything I just said sound familiar to you? Anything? It should, because it's exactly what the evangelical church is doing today. When I say the evangelical church, I'm talking about the Protestant evangelical church. The church at Rome, as an example, they're considered a cult. Why? Because they take a little bit of truth from this book and they mix it with all their traditions, all the church's traditions, all the chains and all the bells and whistles and the smoke. And when you go into the auditorium, you're in heaven there. They want you there. You'll never get to heaven if you're there. The only way you get to heaven, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. It's not about the church. It's not about liberalism. It's about Jesus Christ, period. And today, the church is filled with false teachers. The evangelical church is filled with false teachers who deny the truth of Scripture by twisting it, adding to it, and misrepresenting God's word. You can't help but see that when you just go by a church and you see a multicolored flag there. These modern-day Pharisees are lying to people to try to hide the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're agents of the devil. And I would tell that to them to their face. You're a son of wrath. And if you're a female pastor, you're a child of wrath. You are. And what you're teaching is wrong. If it doesn't line up with this book, it's dead wrong. Dead being you're dead to that book and you're dead to God. And ultimately, you'll be dead to life, eternal life. You'll be in the lake of fire, period. That's not a nothing burger. That's a whopper. And by people lying, pastors lying in pulpits to people, they're taking away the key of knowledge that unlocks the gates of glory to Jesus Christ. They're not hearing the gospel message. John 14:4, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. They don't hear that. What Jesus told the Pharisees 2,000 or so years ago, he's telling the evangelical church today the same thing. God's word endures forever. It's immutable. It never changes. There's no yearbooks to it. And he's telling the church today the same thing he told the Pharisees. This people honors me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. And that's true of almost all evangelical church today. I'm not saying they're all that way. I'm saying most of them are, which means God's view of the evangelical church who lie and hide the gospel, their lip service is a nothing burger. There's nothing in lip service. Nothing. You know why? Because lip service dishonors God. It mocks his word. And hypocrites who do it, they're going to face judgment. They may not believe it or think it, but Psalm 101:7 says, no one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. No one. I don't care if you think that you've got a church with 5,000 people in it. If you're telling lies to those people, you will not dwell with God. Very simple. And everything you're telling those people that isn't the truth of Jesus Christ is a nothing burger, and you'll pay for doing that. And listen to 2 Peter 2:1. There's a warning here. It says, But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Listen, since I've been here, I think I'm starting my 15th year, I can't tell you how many people have come to visit us and brought all these destructive heresies into the church, or attempted to. And the very moment I heard it, the first thing I did is said, let's have a Bible study. I mean, I could have very easily said, you know, you're wrong, and here's why you're wrong, blah. But I want everybody to learn. And the way you learn is if somebody comes in and says to you that you can lose your salvation, let's see what God says. Let's have a Bible study. Let's all of us learn together. You can't lose your salvation. I think it's Matthew or John 10 says, if they're in my hand, nobody can take them out of my Father is greater than I. And if we're in his hand, no one can take them out. You can't deny those words. If you do, if you think that isn't true, then you have to start ripping up your Bible. And once you start ripping up your Bible, let me give you a little clue. If I take one verse out of this, one key doctrine verse out of this Bible, I got to start changing it all. Because it's all perfect the way it is. It lines up perfect. You take anything out, you put anything in, you twist anything, just tweak it a little. You add fluff to it. You harden it, no matter what you do to it. If you don't use this word the way it's written, it is no longer God's word. It is your version of God's word. It can only be used this way to get the maximum power out of it, the power we need to get through this life. Listen, the only acceptable worship to God is a genuine, heartfelt love for Christ and for his word. John 14:23 backs that up. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Is that difficult? Can you see a lot of ways you can move that around? He'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we'll make our home with him. If you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, who is God, if you love him enough to keep this, to take this book, and to do your best every day. You're not going to get it perfect, but you're going to do your best every day to incorporate this book into the way you live your life. He's going to live with you now, and he's going to live with you forevermore. That's a whopper. It's not a nothing burger. It's God's word telling you that. And keeping God's word, simply put, you know, people say, well, what does that mean? Do I have to do this? Let me tell you what keeping God's word, let God tell you in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what it simply means is this. It means that I love God more than I love Brian. I love God more than I love anything else in this world. I love him more than I love my wife. I love him more than I love my children. I love them more than I love my mother, because my dad had already passed. I love God above all things. I love God above this church. I love God above everything. That's the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Four things. That means everything combined. And when I love God that way, that means that I have to lay Brian's biases aside, what Brian likes, what Brian doesn't like. I have to always look at everything through God's eyes. That's how you live for Christ every day. Is that hard to do? Yeah. But see, it's not actually even doing it perfectly that God's looking for. He just wants you to do it. He wants you to have a heart for him. And if you have a heart for him, it will cancel out the heart you always had for you. That's very simple. I mean, I can't find any difficulty in that, except in the practice of it. And the only way I can practice it is to be built up enough in Jesus Christ through his word, through study, Bible study, through testimonies. That's the only way I can do that. That's the only way you can do that. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world, because if you're willing to do that, the fact that you got up this morning and came to Bible study and are sitting in here or watching on TV, the fact that you were willing to do that shows that you have a heart for God. You do. That's wonderful. And we're commanded in John 4:24 to worship God in the Spirit. Now, that's not difficult to do. I don't have to go to a church to worship God. I worship every day outside of church. This is just a corporate setting that we do it in. And this is where the church's job is to teach people to be better disciples for Christ. That's all that is. Any type of worship outside of worshiping God in the Spirit. And worshiping God in the Spirit means that he's in your heart and you're carrying him everywhere with you. I bet you there isn't one person listening online or listening in this room that doesn't have God in their heart in some way, shape, or form. And I also believe that there are some in here that love him so much that everything else is secondary. But I don't think there's enough of us. There needs to be more people like that. We need to understand that if I'm doing something that may or may not be okay some of the time or not, get rid of it. It's not worth it. I don't care what it is. If there's anything in your life that keeps you from loving God all the way, get rid of it. Because I got to tell you, whatever pleasure you're going to get from that little thing you're keeping is nothing compared to the pleasure you'll have when you're in heaven with God. There's no comparison, not even worth mentioning. And if you're not worshiping God in the Spirit, it only means that you're praying or you're worshiping a nothing with a nothing burger. There's nothing in it. You must be in the Spirit of God. And in Matthew 7, 21-23, we know that nothing burgers are rejected because they're worthless. It's not what he wants. He has prescribed a way that you're to behave, and he's prescribed as his, he's the father, we're adopted children, and he's prescribed the way that he wants you to address him in this world. Matthew 7, 21-23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" You know who's saying that? Professing Christians. The lost don't say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name?" They don't do that. He's talking about people who profess his name and never live it. "We've done many wonders in your name. And then will I declare to them," Jesus said, "'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" It's a very simple thing. So many people call themselves professing Christians, but they're not. All they have is a nothing burger in their heart. They don't have a Whopper at all. Why? Because they're not practicing Christians. You have to practice your faith. I've used this analogy before. If a guy goes to school, gets a PhD and a doctorate in something, and he's a orthopedic surgeon, okay? He spent 12 years in college. He's not going to get out of college and say, "Okay, I think I'm going to hang out with the guys at the bar for a while, and maybe if somebody's got a ache or pain, I'll look at it." He's going to go out and he's going to practice his craft. We have a religion that we're supposed to practice. It's not one that we hold on to. And that's what the evangelical church does. They want everybody to come into the church, sit down in the pews, listen to the nothing burgers I'm going to give you, go home happy with your ears tickled, and feel good for the week. But when the rug falls out from underneath you, there's going to be nobody there. "Oh, the pastor might call you." "Yes, I'm really sorry to hear that. We'll pray for you, brother." That's all you got. It's a nothing burger. If that's what you're doing, if that's what you're listening to, shut it off. You need to get a Whopper. You need to get the meat. You need to get the tomatoes, and you need to get the mayo and everything else that goes on it, because that's what God wants to give you. Look at verse 7. Here's the result of giving God lip service. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain. Now that term vain, you know what it means? It means that regardless of how great or the grandeur of your worship ceremony, and again, talking to somebody this morning about the church at Rome, if you ever look at, and I was brought up Catholic, I know what it's like. You go in and you look at the ceiling and there's angels and there's Christ and there's Mary, and over on the side is the statues, and then you got over here, you got this, you got a guy coming in all dressed up, throwing smoke all around. It's a show. That's all that it is. It's a show. God's not in that. Where in the Bible do you ever see that? You have to understand something. No matter how grand your worship service is, it doesn't matter how many people are in the church. I hear people say all the time, how many people are in your church? And my answer to them is, well, how many do you think would work? Five? You know how many were in Christ Church? 11. 11 people were in the first church. That's it. We've been down to 6. And then down to 2. You understand that? It's never about numbers. And when somebody in the Old Testament, namely David, started counting his troops, he was punished for it. Why? Because that means you don't trust in God. But some churches are all based on numbers. They're all based on how many are coming in, how many you're running. You don't run sheep, you lead them. Or whatever words or music. A lot of time people go to church for the music, or they go to church for the offerings that I don't have to, I can put 20 cents in there. They don't care. They go to church just to feel good. If the worship is based on what man wants to give God instead of what's in God's word, their worship is in vain. Your worship is a nothing burger. If you're giving God what I call it the religion of Cain. That's what Cain did. In Genesis 4, 3, and 5, Cain refused to give God what he knew he should have given him, a blood offering. He didn't do that. He gave him a grain offering. Here's what it says. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and also brought of the, and Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. In other words, he sacrificed them. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? Because Cain offered him what he wanted, not what God wanted. His worship was a nothing burger, so God rejected it. And that's the story of the evangelical church today. That's the story of every cult today. The same thing is going on in most evangelical churches today. They sit there and they're thinking they're up in heaven at that moment, and they're knocking on God's door, and the angels are floating around singing praises. Poppycock! They're all on their way to hell because they don't do things the way God prescribes. And they could say, well, that's your opinion of that, Pastor. And I'd say, no, it isn't. It's God's opinion of it. And I could prove it right here with this book. How about that? Man's morals and traditions have become doctrines in the evangelical church, and they're taught and worshiped there. Examples, same-sex marriage, okay. Abortion, okay. Gender change, okay. No sin responsibility, okay. Liberalism, okay. Humanism, okay. Ecumenicalism, okay. Everything is okay. I'm okay, you're okay. I think somebody wrote a book about that, but it's true. That's what's in the evangelical church today. Whatever you want, whatever will tickle your ears, and you'll come back and you'll fill the pews up, bring your friends. We want to tell you all about God, our God, not this God. Big difference. All of which mean today. Most evangelical worship services are nothing burgers, and they worship in vain, and God rejects that worship. The Bible says it, not me. Any doctrine or worship that undermines God's word is unacceptable to him and is rejected. True first Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you think abortion is okay, you think same-sex marriage is okay, you think all of those things that the liberal church today thinks is okay, if you think that, you're going to hell because it's not okay. God says it's not okay. It's an abomination to him. And because it is an abomination to him, and because it is, he's not listening. He's not. What you got right there, when you listen to that stuff, you got a nothing burger. And you should tell your friends that. If you're going to church and it is not a Bible-based, Bible-believing church, wherever it is, I don't care where it is, you are getting a nothing burger. There's nothing in it. It's empty. And how about our text? Doesn't the text back it up? In vain, they worship me. That's people who do that. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. It doesn't matter what evangelicals think is righteous or holy. I don't care what they think. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's worthless. It's a nothing burger. It's worthless. There's no meat in it. And most importantly, there's no salvation in it. And I would also say, while I'm on the subject of that, offering prayers to God for believers with an unrepented sin in your heart is also another nothing burger. If I've got known sin in my heart and I go up to God, it's a nothing burger prayer because God's not listening. As his son, he's not listening to me. Why? Because Jeremiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. He doesn't want to hear you. Get rid of the sin. How hard is that? Father, I'm so sorry that I offended you. And I am sorry, God. Search my heart and you'll see I'm really sorry. Forgive me. Hear my cries. What did David say? Restore your spirit to me, Lord. How long, O Lord, before you do that? And he went on and on about it. Wailed at it. That's how important God was to him. And that's how important God should be to every believing Christian. You go to him, don't mock him, don't go up to him and have this terrible thing in your heart you haven't got rid of and say, well, Father, thank you for this and thank you for that. Don't do that. Just say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me my sin. And God, hear my cries because I can't get it. I will not live this life without. I will not live this life without you because I can't. Because once I'm saved, I belong to him. I know what's in this book. And I know I can never unknow it. And if I know it, I have to do it. We can even say for us, even when our walk with God can be a nothing burger if we neglect our relationship with him. For example, when we don't anticipate him in our day. How many of us go to get up in the morning, say our prayers or whatever we do, and then go out to work? And it's like, I got to drive here. Traffic is bad. Let's see what the weather is for tomorrow. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. Next thing you know, God is like, he's like miles behind you. Where is he? Get in the car. Turn the key. Hey, Lord, I don't know what the weather is today. I don't even care. How about between now and work, I just tell you how much I love you. That's something he'll hear. It's a nothing burger when we don't trust him to get us through the day. And many times we don't. We just get through our day and say, well, it's just another day here in anti-paradise or whatever. It's not. If we're not trusting in him, who are we trusting in? You have to understand something. I'm never going to get tired of telling you this. The Bible is absolute. There's two. There's either you trusting in you or trusting in God. There's no third base. There's no one else you can trust in. You're either going to love God or you're going to love yourself. There's no third base, only two. You're either saved or you're either lost. That's it. And the same applies with trusting God. When we don't use our spiritual vision and see things spiritually, we can have a nothing burger day. Or we don't believe in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. When you don't believe that, I told you a story. I got a registered letter from a I forget his first name, but anyway, Sanchez was his last name. I don't know any Sanchez. What was Pablo Sanchez? I said, Pablo Sanchez? I had no clue. But I didn't want to open it up because it was registered. Why? Because there was fear in my heart. Uh-oh, registered letters usually mean I'm suing you. So I said, well, I don't want to open that puppy up right away. Let me just think about it. Maybe it'll go stupid stuff. I opened it up. There's a Mexican restaurant behind my house. They were sending me a notice. They're putting up a fence and they were going to give me the best side. Ugh. I felt it brought me to my knees. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't trust it. And, you know, just open the letter up and just read it and deal with it. Let God, trust in God for it, right? I didn't do it. So silly. And when we allow people to rob us of our joy, we're not going to have a good day. And these are the neglected things that can cause you to have a nothing burger day. And you know the other thing I want to say about that? None of us that know Christ as our Savior, none of us have an excuse for having a nothing burger day. There's no excuse for it. None. Here's why. Because God has given you the faith to believe, to move mountains. Ephesians 2:8, you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God. He's given you the gift of faith to believe in him. And your faith, he says in Matthew 20:21, you can move mountains with it. Meaning you can move anything in your life. He's imputed us the obedience of our Savior, Ezekiel 36:27. It simply says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my commandments and you will keep my statutes. Simple. I'm going to cause you to do it. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as our spiritual guide so we could see things that way. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he gave us the mind of Christ to understand things. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And he gave us hundreds of promises that will never fail. 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us that. And most of all, he gave us the promise of eternal life. And that will never fail either. You can't have a nothing burger day if you have all those things in your heart. If you're living for Christ, you can't have a nothing burger day. Not you can't. And if you do, it isn't because you don't have the equipment to get over it. It's just that you're not turning it on. You're not using it. Listen, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he bought, he paid for, and he delivered to his people a package of gifts that gives the elect the power to never, ever have a nothing burger day. You have the power. All you have to do is implement it. And because of that, he expects you and I, he expects us to offer him prayers and worship that really are whoppers. That's what he wants. He doesn't do anything in a little way. He wants you to put all your life into his hands. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll guide your path. Just trust in him, and he'll guide your path. He wants you to taste, as Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to do that. And he wants you to know the Lord is near to all who call upon him. In truth, he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. Psalm 145. It's for all these reasons you and I should never have a nothing hamburger day, ever. Now, if you're lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, altogether different. Outside of Christ, every day is a nothing burger day. Every day is. You never miss it. And the reason? Your life is really, that simply means your life has no purpose in it. Your life serves no purpose except to survive to the next day. And that's really the same thing that most of the animals in the forest do. We just will eat, but I just want to make sure I make it to tomorrow, because maybe tomorrow will be better than today. And that's what happens if you're without Christ. And here's how I know that's true, because Ephesians 4:12 tells you that. At that time, he told the Ephesians, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the state you're in without Christ. You have no hope except to live to tomorrow. And God isn't in your life. He knows who you are. You're his creator. And when you leave this realm and enter the eternal realm, he's still going to take care of you, but he ain't going to take care of you the way you like. All who sin against the Lord and do not accept the sacrifice of Christ's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't go to a church and have a church give you sacraments to bring you into heaven. Nothing gets you to heaven except the blood of Christ. That cross and what it represents is what you need to get to heaven. Nothing else works. You have no hope without it. And just for those who think that you're not too bad a person, I'm a moral person. Yeah, I told a few lies. I did this. Okay, listen, let me tell you something. Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in 10, it says none are righteous, no, not one. No human being comes into this world as a child, as a son of Adam. You inherit that sin, and when you inherit that sin, you will sin. As soon as you're able to understand who God is and what sin is, you're going to offend God. That's the truth. The Bible says that's the truth. And Romans 10:13 gives you another option. It says, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, I know I'm a sinner. I know that other than being a sinner, I know that there's no way I can ever pay God for sinning against him, because he's an eternal being and I'm a mortal being, and I cannot pay something that is so great. Only Christ can do that. Recently, we had a woman here at church make that decision for Christ. And it was difficult. It's difficult when you first get saved, especially if you're coming out of a church that deals in nothing but nothing burgers. And when you do that, and then all of a sudden you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, your ears open, your heart opens, and you have an understanding now that you didn't have before, because before you were being kept from that truth because you never heard it. The gospel of Christ is not preached in that church. It's the gospel of the church, or the gospel of humanism or liberalism that is preached in the Protestant sector. But the gospel of Christ will open your mind, open your heart. And when you do that, you call upon him to save you. All you have to do is repent of your sin. And repenting of your sin is so simple. Beloved, all you have to do is just bow your head right where you're sitting now, close your eyes and say, God, this message has made me realize that I've sinned so much against you. And I need to tell you how sorry I am and how much I truly want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. There's no other way I can get to you but through him. So God, would you help me with that? I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life. I repent of my sins. I repent of all my religious nothing burgers. And I want a whopper. I want you. I want everything that you have for me. I want it. And I would ask you this in no greater name than you as my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how simple it is to make the transition from hell to heaven. That's how simple the transition is. Open your heart to God. Claim him. Don't claim the church. Don't claim anything. Claim it's all about him, not about us. I'm going to weep here in a minute, so I'm going to stop, okay? Okay, so we got that. Now you got to make a decision, and the decision is this. Am I going to spend my life on this earth eating nothing burgers and then die and spend eternity burning in the lake of fire's cryolator? Am I going to do that? Or am I going to call on Christ and tell him I'm sorry, because I am sorry. It's in my heart that I'm sorry. Am I going to call on him, and am I going to say, Jesus, save me. You're the only one that can save me. And I know that my heart, my Every heartbeat brings me closer to eternity, and I don't want to face that realm without your loving arms around me and your blood cleansing me. If that's you, you call or see, call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how much he wants you to come into his kingdom. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, this week in your prayers, in your worship, or whatever you do, give God a whopper. Give him the whopper size of your life in everything you do, especially your heart. And remember, special orders don't upset him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that nothing burgers are prohibited on church grounds over here in Northfield. We don't allow nothing burgers. We, Lord, want you and only you. God, thank you for putting this message on my heart and sharing it with my brothers and sisters, and even, Lord, those that haven't been saved yet. And God, I do pray that those listening who haven't accepted Christ yet, Lord, would hear this message, Lord, and you would use it to cut their heart and take it out, Lord, that stony heart, and put in a malleable heart for Christ. Oh, God, help them. And help us, Lord, your children. We cry out, Abba, Daddy, help us. Help us get through all the adversities we're facing. I think of one person here who told me that they're having terrible battles of wanting to come to church and not being able to because they listen to their flesh. God, would you give that one strength? I have others here, Lord, that have the chains have fallen off of them, Lord, and they still feel the marks. It's almost like, Lord, when I gave up smoking cigarettes, and for a while thereafter, I could still feel the phantomness of that cigarette between my fingers, and it wasn't there. Help that one too, Lord. And all the rest here, Lord, help us all. Help us all to dedicate our life to you. God, we thank you and we love you. And we ask you now to bless us as we leave this place and sing our last hymn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is in the red hymnal, 705. We're going to sing verses 1 and whatever the last one is. First and last verse, 705. I know whom I have believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's go number 2. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. Amen. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him that day. And the 5th, I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Brother Wink, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we know that it's different today. There are so many false teachers among us. But this is not true. It's happened to the Apostle Paul, and he heard Corinthians about such